This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960 960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on this Tuesday, September 3rd. After a Labor Day long weekend, Flames Talk back for the 2024-25 season. Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you. Thanks for being along with us. And as we continue along on this Tuesday, you know, we did our tribute show on Friday, which was somber and needed and important, but also important, I think, that yes, as things start ramping up, training camps are around the corner, Penticton is around the corner for the Flames, so on and so forth. But I think it's important to continue to honor and remember the life of John and Matt Gaudreau. They, of course, there will be a candlelight vigil in Columbus. The Flames have announced they're going to be preserving the memorial outside the Saddle Dome, even with a Kings of Leon concert on this Tuesday night. And the tributes continue to pour in. So want to make sure that we're just continuing to honor, because I think it's important. Right now, we welcome in on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, General Manager of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, is with us. Connie, it's Pat and Wes. Thank you for doing this. How are you holding up as here we are on this Tuesday afternoon?
You know, I'm doing okay, Pat. I mean, obviously, you know, it's you're always so emotional, the highs and lows, and you know, it's just you know, really want to believe it's not even happening, but you know, obviously it is, and you know, now we're dealing with it. And I think until you get out east, it's really not, it hits you, but it's going to be even that much worse, to be totally honest.
Yeah. That memorial is pretty amazing outside your office. Hey, that memorial at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, it's heartening. We wish it didn't have to exist, but boy, it sure is staggering to see the support here and around the hockey world, isn't it?
It's amazing. You know, I mean, when I went out the first day, it was a small section on the stairs, and then to see it grow, and every time I've walked out, time and time again, and just it continues to grow, and all the you know, messages, you know, on the pavement. It's one of the things that I love about Calgary. I mean, how they rally for their own and come together and show their love and support in such a tough time. I mean, it really is. It means a lot to me to be out there and see the people and see everything they're doing and how much Johnny meant to them. And I know how much they meant to Johnny, you know, and how much Johnny meant to, you know, how Johnny felt about this city.
Connie, there's going to be lots of questions over the next number of days, weeks, months about, you know, how team is going to honor or league is going to honor, so on and so forth. And those answers will come in due time. So I want to just instead chat with you and just give you an opportunity to share some stories. I know you've done a lot of these on this Tuesday. So just give you an opportunity to share some stories and talk about your time with Johnny and the Gaudreau family, because You and Johnny shared almost an instant bond, didn't you? The both Americans, both represented by the same agent, or when Johnny started Family Advisor, like it was a pretty instant bond between the two of you when he was drafted in 2011, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, you know, I think definitely having Lewis as part of it made it completely different for me, and I just started on this side in management. So I kind of was learning as I was going along. And, you know, I remember texting Lewis, okay, you know, it's our pick. I see you, where is Johnny? I'm looking for Johnny in the stands. And he's like, he actually didn't make it. So I'm like, oh, okay. So we have to wait till development camp to see him. And I think that's, you know, was the first time where, you know, you think, we're getting them, and as they make the pick, and here it comes, and you know, we were pretty excited. And I knew, hey, everybody would be talking that he's a smaller player, but you know, the skill and how quickness and just and kind of the electric way he kind of played the game in the USHL, we were really excited to get him. So, you know, it started there, and then it just continued to go on as at BC, going in to visit him, and all, you know, all the way to time we brought him back from Philly after the, you know, the Frozen Four, And, you know, and then to see him kind of his career just progress. I mean, there was a little stint at his first full year that people thought maybe he was going to the minors. Bob sat him out, whether right or wrong, you know, and then he had the two goals in Winnipeg and away he went, never to look back. But, you know, and all those great memories in between and the friendships, you know, even though I'm in management, I'd see how he bonded with everybody. There's not one person that would ever say a bad word about Johnny Gaudreau. And, you know, just especially his chemistry with Monahan and their special bond and friendship is, you know, you can't even put that into words.
Connie, I've told this story a couple of times. I remember being at that draft in Minnesota in 2011. As you said, you're just getting into management. And I remember Peter Hanlon coming up to Rob Kerr and Boomer and I at the draft and asking if we could maybe make a bigger deal of this fourth round pick. And like he's like, we think that we've got something special here. We think that we found something that maybe a lot of other teams passed on. And he asked if we could bring on Jim Montgomery, who was his head coach in Dubuque of the USHL. And so we brought Jim on, who just raved about Johnny, and we brought Johnny on, who was pretty shy and pretty taken aback about being drafted in the NHL. But it felt, and you would be acutely aware of this, even though it was a fourth round pick, you felt like there was something special with the guy that you just got in the fourth round, didn't you?
Oh, really did. Well, and you know, we always talk about the list in order. We go off the list. Well, Johnny wasn't on the list. He was over on the left and it was boxed and we had one other person boxed and we didn't get the other person. And then we said, okay, if we can get a chance to take Johnny, we're going to do that. We're going to do it. So we didn't have a third round pick, as you probably remember. And then, cause I was texting with Lewis during the draft and he said, I just said, you know, when we get to the fourth round, he's like, how's it going? Any interest in Gaudreau? I didn't want to really let him know where we were at. I said, well, we'll see. And he's like, but then when it was our turn to pick, I said, okay, we are taking him. He's like, I knew you were going to take him. And, you know, so then, you know, we made the pick and away we go. But yeah, we boxed him. We put him over to the side because we thought he was special, a little undersized, but special and really had a chance. So that's, you know, if Peter came and talked to you, that's probably, he was around the meetings and hearing how highly we thought of Johnny, you know, other than the size, you know, he would have been a first round pick,
yeah.
You know, that was it with what he could do on the ice, but size, people were a little nervous and, you know, he like he did his whole life. He showed everybody they were completely wrong.
Yeah. No doubt. Craig Conroy's with us. General Manager of the Calgary Flames joining us here on this Tuesday Flames Talk with Pat and Wes. Wes?
Craig, I know you won't want to spill any secrets, but I think from what I've heard, both players who had their names in that separate box turned out pretty good. So that was some good scouting. I'll just ask you specifically about Johnny. Every superstar, and that's exactly what Johnny was, every superstar has something that sort of sets them apart from the crowd. What was it with Johnny?
I mean, his skill level, I mean, hands, being able to, you know, when he picked up the puck, end-to-end rushes, he's so quick, deceiving, and his hands were just magical. They really were. I mean, and that was the thing. And you'd see him, I told some stories today, like, I wish, and you guys saw him because you're at practice all the time. Some of the stuff he would do in practice, I was like, oh, I can't believe he just did that. Like, it used to just make me, I'd walk out just shaking my head. I'm glad I'm not out there with him because he would just be embarrassing me right now. But, you know, I just think it was that skill, that hockey sense. And for a smaller player, he knew once he figured out how he had to be able to go and play in this league, it was unbelievable. I mean, one of the stories that we talked about, Johnny has a really good shot. And we're like, I'm going to talk to him because he was going on breakaways and he was never shooting. So we said, listen, can you please shoot the puck? And then he's like, yeah, I will. So after practice, I ran down before he could get off the ice. I said, can you just do 10 breakaways for me on the goalie and just shoot them all, please? And he said, okay. And he went and he did it 10 times and he scored 8 goals. And I thought, he's like, that was pretty good. I said, see, you shoot the puck. You have a great shot. Believe in your shot. You don't always have to deke. They know you're going to deke. Next game, I'm thinking, okay, we actually went to a shootout. And Johnny gets the puck. And I remember looking over Chris Snow saying, okay, he's going to shoot it. It's going to be high glove. He's going to score here. Yeah, he deked. And I thought, oh, I got to go talk to him. So after him, like, why did you deke again? You know, and he's like, well, I just feel more comfortable with the deke. So I remember Guy Gaudreau came in a couple, you know, maybe a week later, and I saw him. And I said, he was in the owner's box. We were watching practice. I said, would you mind telling him to please shoot the puck? And he's like, I've been telling him, but I'll mention it again. And after that, he went on a little tear where he must have scored 4 or 5 goals from that same spot, high glove. He could pick that corner like nobody else. And then he just started scoring and shooting from that one spot. And he'd even shoot on a breakaway. Not that often, but when he did, he usually scored. So, you know, it took Guy to finally tell him, you have to start shooting the puck if you want to score goals and be a threat. So, you know, that was one. I mean, I got a million stories like that, but yeah, he wasn't listening to me, but he was definitely going to listen to Guy.
You mentioned Guy, and certainly we've all been thinking about him and Jane over these past few days. You and I chatted earlier today, and I love this story. So I'll just get you to retell it if you don't mind. You and at the time GM Jay Feaster, when Johnny was at Boston College, after drafting him, you'd make annual trips to New Jersey to check in, and you'd go see the family at the rink where Guy worked. Can you tell me what those meetings with Johnny were like?
I mean, you know what, we always, you know, every year we were trying to go in there and to see, kind of gauge if he wanted to come out, what he wanted to do, but just to know, hey, you're a huge part of this moving forward. You know, we're here because we think that highly of you, you know, all that stuff. But as we would sit, Guy would bring us up to kind of an office area and we'd all be in there and we'd be talking and Johnny would just glance over at the ice. And he wanted no part of being in that room and talking to us. All he wanted to do, and it was like all of a sudden we'd say, I remember Jay saying, oh, if you want to go on the ice, and gone. You know, he was out of there. He had his equipment on, and when we walked out, we just waved goodbye. He's on the ice playing. So, I mean, that's just, you know, that's how much he loved it. He just loved being on the ice all the time. And then when he came to Calgary, I mean, it's just, you know, you're wondering how it's going to work out. Like, he is a smaller player, and to watch what he did, and we were all fortunate enough for 9 years to get to see him get us right out of our seats every time he got the puck, making that rush, you know. So it was pretty special to watch him for all those years.
Connie, I know that, you know, you've got a lot of these to do, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, although you do make it difficult to keep it to 10 minutes, but that's your fault.
That is my fault.
No, and you know what? It's so awesome to hear you talk about him. I guess the last two I wanted to ask you on this is, first of all, can you just talk about, I was so struck when Johnny was here last season with Columbus. And he, Wes and I were both there. A few others were there for his media scrum in the visitors' locker room. And I sat there. I'm like, man, you know, 10 years on, like, here we are. This is the 10-year anniversary of Johnny's only time at the Young Stars Classic in Penticton, which is a bit of a kick in the gut when you think about it. And I just, I sat there looking at him and listening to him talk. It's like, man, how this human has matured from the guy who came here in the spring of 2014 to the guy who is now in his second season with the Columbus Blue Jackets. You saw it up close and personal. Can you just talk about how, you know, Johnny matured as his time in Calgary went along?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Johnny came as a young kid, really. I mean, just all he wanted to do was play hockey. You know, didn't want to pay his rent, didn't want to pay for car insurance, didn't want to, all those little things that, you know, kind of the life stuff, you know. And that's where, you know, I'd be like, hey, we got to get your taxes and have you send them to Lewis. He's like, I haven't gotten them, Craig. I'd be like, they've been in your stall like every other person in here for like 2 weeks. I said, do you mind if I take them and then, you know, PDF them into Lewis so he'll have them all? He's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be every year. I'm thinking, Johnny, taxes, are you going to do it again? Okay, I'll just do it again, you know, and just to see him, you know, and even towards the end, you're like, the way he kind of got everything in order and his life and the way you're like, wow, he's just, you know, I guess it's just like with our kids, you know, you see him grow and mature and get older. And that was him to a T, to see the way he kind of did. And when he was with Meredith at the end, and then, you know, to get married and start his own family. And it was like night and day, you know, it was just like a young kid and then a grown man, you know, and it was pretty special to kind of watch that transformation over the years, because some people come in and, you know, they're kind of an old soul already. Johnny just matured just like you would think. And it was fun to be a part of and watch. And, you know, and he took care of all the other stuff. You know, he made sure he had everything he needed. He was taken care of. And that's what was kind of special, to watch that kind of him mature as a person over those years.
Last one, and just, can you just talk to the bond between John and Matt and how close those two were from what you were able to see over Johnny's time with the Flames?
You know, I mean, I just think they had a special bond. You know, they were in the same room growing up. They were, everything they did, they went to BC together. And I mean, there's always that story that I think John let Maddie pick where they were going to go to school. Like, where do we want to go? He had, you know, obviously they had a bunch of offers and, you know, different teams. And I think Maddie might've picked BC. At least that's the story, you know, but that's how it was. They would do everything together. I mean, even the night we picked them up in Philly, you know, after they lost, it was the two of them walking down. I could remember seeing them just walking down the concourse heading towards their family. And they're like, what are you guys doing here? And I'm thinking, oh, we came to get you, Johnny. You know, we came to get you. He's like, oh, didn't know you were coming. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're here. And then, you know, it was quite a process from, you know, it was a long 6 hours for me until we said he agreed that he was going to sign a contract and come to Calgary. But, I mean, they were always together, you know, and that's, you know, that was the one reason I thought he might go back that final year, was to be with Maddie and finish, and his mom wanted him to finish school and to be able to play with his brother one more year. So that would have been, you know, that's the reason I was a little nervous when we saw him that night in Philly.
Yeah. Thank you, Connie. Be well, pal. We'll talk soon. Hey.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. You have a good day.
You as well. Bye. Be well. Craig Conroy, GM of the Calgary Flames, with us on Flames Talk here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Remembering the life of Johnny Gaudreau and Matty Gaudreau, as we know, who were taken from us and the hockey world and their family way too soon on Thursday evening. It's a Pat and Wes along with you as we continue on this Tuesday Flames Talk. It is staggering to, and not surprising, like, it's not like I'm surprised, but it doesn't make it any less staggering. Just whether you look at that memorial on the steps at the Scotiabank Saddledome, which they are preserving, they're just going to move it off the steps onto the grass so that there is an event at the Scotiabank Saddledome on this Tuesday night. Kings of Leon in town, so they obviously have to have the steps available. But whether it be that, or the outpouring we've seen in Columbus, or what we've seen around the hockey world, around the sporting world, not surprising, but still staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I said this to somebody yesterday. You know, I expected when this devastating news became official, like, you knew this was going to be a massive story. You knew this was going to be the biggest topic of conversation. You knew there was going to be an outpouring of support and love for the family. And yet it's gone beyond what I maybe imagined it would be. I didn't imagine LeBron James tweeting his condolences. I didn't imagine, it's not that I didn't imagine a memorial at the Saddledome, but I've been twice now, and I just didn't imagine it being as powerful as it has been. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. We haven't personally been through something like this in our careers. So maybe imagine is the right word. It's not like I knew kind of how this would unfold, but it's been really overwhelming to be quite honest. And it's been really powerful to see the love and the support and just what Johnny Gaudreau and by extension the entire Gaudreau family have meant to this city and to the sporting world at large.
And I know there's, and honestly, somewhat shockingly, I don't know if I'd be able to put out a statement as soon after something like this in my life, but you know, I know the Gaudreau family has come out with something on this Tuesday. You know, I know Uncle Jim came out with something shortly thereafter. You know, Katie has come out with something. Mm-hmm. Meredith has posted a few things. That in and of itself shows.
And Madeline as well.
Maddie's wife. Just being able to do that in and of itself is takes strength that I can't even imagine what they've been able to do just to put on a brave face, just to type something and hit post or tweet or whatever the case may be. It remains, I don't know, like since Thursday and you know, you and I talked on Thursday night as you know, we had known this had happened and we're waiting just for, you know, the official news and a statement to come out from the teams, you know, wanting to respect the wishes of the family as Thursday night rolled on. Obviously it wouldn't be until Friday morning when the news would be made official, but you know, since Thursday night, just the amount of different things that you reflect on, you know, I've said it a few times, all the different people just in my life. And I know that you're probably the same. I would imagine that anybody listening would be in a similar boat, just the amount of people that this thing has touched, you know, the amount of texts I've gotten from friends devastated, you know, talking to people in the Flames organization. Like it took me, took me about 24 hours for me to work up the courage to message a couple of people just because I know how torn up they are. And it just, that has brought it home to me as to just how many lives this family, mm-hmm. these two human beings have touched. And I just, Sean Monahan, Craig Conroy, Peter Hanlon, Sean Kelso, Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Blake Coleman, Michael Backlund, these are all people that you interact with on a very regular basis. And that's just some off the top of my head that,
sure.
And you're just like, man, these are people that you see daily, that you're around daily, that you've built relationships with, and you know how torn up they are. Plus you're also trying to react to a tragedy. It's just been really staggering. And again, heartening and impactful to see how many people that this family has touched since 2011.
Yeah, and I hope I put this properly. I'm going to try and explain what I'm thinking. If we've been surprised at all, it's because when Johnny Gaudreau left as a free agent 2 years ago, it's not like you heard people at the Saddle Dome bad-mouthing Johnny Gaudreau. It's just, there wasn't a ton of talk about Johnny Gaudreau the last couple of years. You know, teammates didn't bring his name up a lot, staff members. And what we're seeing now is that the love that everyone had for Johnny Gaudreau, it never dissipated. Like what we're seeing now is that while they might not have talked about him a ton over the past couple of years because he was the guy who signed elsewhere, I think this has really proven what high regard Johnny Gaudreau was held in and remained to be held in. We saw the tribute that was paid to him, the on-ice tribute that was paid to him when the Blue Jackets were here for the first time. We now obviously see the memorial outside the Saddle Dome. And you know, I hope Johnny Gaudreau has seen it as well, because what a great example of what he meant to this city.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. Like I wonder if wherever Johnny and Maddie are now, if they have seen all of what's going on, and I, it just, and the different reflections that, yeah, like it just, it makes you, all of the things that had to come together for this one tragedy to hit, for this one family's lives to be changed in the snap of a finger. Like it just, it really does hit home. Like don't. And anytime this stuff happens, I had my own shocking tragedy about a year ago that same thing. Like it just continues to remind you, all it takes is one person's decision and everything in your life can change and change in such a horrible, tragic fashion. And it just, this is not me preaching or anything like that. It's just it for me, personal reflection mm-hmm. in talking it out is like, imagine one thing different and this doesn't happen. You know, Good Samaritan doesn't try to give the two brothers room and on the shoulder. And obviously we know the perpetrator who made the horrible decisions that have affected the Gaudreau family so much. It just has really, really hit home how fragile things are, how kind of one thing can change so much. So you just never know what tomorrow holds. And you just, I don't know. Last couple of years that has hit home more so than any other time in my life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I said something on Friday when you and I were chatting, and obviously it was still so fresh then, and I'll say it again, you know, that hockey is a business of tough exteriors. And
yeah,
just to hear, you know, all the emotion, you know, to see all the emotion, whether you're trading texts with someone or you're chatting with them, you know, Craig Conroy, and thank you again to the general manager for joining us. Craig Conroy's done a bunch of these today, and you can tell it's not getting any easier for him to talk about Johnny Gaudreau, and it won't. And I just, yeah, you're absolutely right. This has sent shockwaves through the hockey world. I think, you know, as I trip on my words, I'm just one of however many who has yet to fully kind of wrap their head around the fact that Johnny Gaudreau and his younger brother Matthew are no longer with us.
Yeah, in all the as happened, like if somebody texted in, feels a lot like the Humboldt Broncos a little more than 6 years ago when that happened in the spring of 2018. And you know, the hockey world slowly moves on, and that's just the nature of being alive and being a human. Like things just naturally move on. But yeah, it's important to remember that. And I think it's important to just keep on, keeping that part of it, just knowing how things can change in an instant. And, you know, people always say things like hug your people and, you know, remember.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember that. At least I know it is for me.
I think you're bang on. I had my family over at my place for dinner on Sunday, and my two nieces are very similar in age to Johnny and Meredith Gaudreau's two children.
Yeah.
And that was a real hit home moment for me to see the two of them, one of them running around and one not running yet. And just to think of those two, in Johnny's case, a boy and a girl, who will now grow up without their dad, and by all accounts, someone who has been and would have been such a great father. It just really, that was one of those moments for me that you just kind of take a deep breath after and say, man, this, you know, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be like that.
Agreed. Thanks to Craig Conroy. Joined us on Flames Talk on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.